Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved. Its host and its founder is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. Coming up on the second half of today's show, Carol will be interviewing Thomas Moore, a New York Times bestselling author. His latest book is titled Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy, published by St. Martin's Press. But let's kick off with something on the romantic side. Actually, a bit spicy. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up this Wednesday, and as people who've listened to this show for any length of time know, we believe that just because a person is past 50, 60, 70, or even 80 or beyond, doesn't mean that the spark has to go out in terms of love, romance, and sex. Beth Liebling is a 52-year-old mother of five and a grandmother who's the host of one of the most unique shows heard anywhere in America. It's called Love and Laughter with Beth, and it's about sex. It's a radio show heard weekly on ESPN Radio in Houston. And she's also the owner of an adult specialty store in that city's historic district called Darling Way, specializing in romantic items to help spark people's love lives. She is a charming woman with a growing reputation as a champion in bringing sexuality out of the shadows and into the sunlight. Beth's new book is titled Love and Laughter, Sexy, Meaningful Fun for Everyone. And before we begin this interview, I want to say that it might not be for everyone. So if you have any children in the audience or if you're sensitive about the topic of sex, you might want to come back in a half hour. She joins us now. With Valentine's Day coming up in a very, very short time, and certainly all of our attention turns to romance, I thought you'd be a great guest for A Touch of Grey. You have this book, Love and Laughter, Sexy, Meaningful, Fun for Everyone, and you're kind of a Pied Piper of adventurous romance. Is that a good way to describe you?
Oh, I like that. Yes, I would love to lead that parade, actually, so that's perfect.
We got to get you a flute, and you'll have followers all over the world, because romance makes the world go around. I believe that, and I certainly know you do. That's basically your major mission. You own a very interesting store in Houston that specializes in very classy, romantic paraphernalia, clothing, items, toys, helpers, aides. I mean, Darling Way. That alone is a whole discussion. And you have a book out. You have a radio show on ESPN in Houston. You are a Pied Piper of adventurous romance. I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
Well, you're very sweet. I do. I think love and romance, I think, are just the most beautiful things. Most beautiful gifts we get in the whole world, and I think everybody should be celebrating them. And whether you're solo or partnered, we all have something, somebody to love, and we need to love more.
Well, the key here is everyone, and some people believe this program, of course, is what's called an upper demo show. It's geared at people 50 years and older and their families, so it's really for children of all ages. But sometimes people think that when you get to a certain age, romance, sexuality, lovemaking, passion, that somehow it takes on a lesser meaning. And maybe it does in some ways, but that doesn't mean it has to be completely eradicated from your life. What's your position on this in terms of upper demographic romance, upper demographic sex, and just, you know, romance in the bedroom for people who are on in years?
Right. Well, first of all, I'm 52, and I wish that someone had told me earlier that being in your 50s could be so much fun. So I think that phrase, you know, youth is wasted on the young, is especially true when we talk about sexy fun. Because let's face it, when we're young, that sexuality and stuff, it's new and it's exciting, but we're not as confident as hopefully we are now. We're shyer. We're more focused on sort of getting somewhere, getting, you know, notches in our belt or finding somebody, finding a partner to have children with and build a life with or build our careers, et cetera. The fact is that now in this after 50 part of our lives, we get to really think about what we want sexy, fun, and romance to be. And then we have the power to actually create it, which is incredible. We're not looking to impress somebody else. We're not looking to just check off the boxes on our what do we do as we grow up list. We're looking at what feels good to us, or I hope that we're looking at what feels good to us. What do we want to do? What sounds fun? What's going to make us laugh? What's going to make us giggle like we're teenagers, but with all the knowledge and experience of a mature, successful person? And to me, it's the biggest gift. And that's where now we really get to create our own little lives. And it's very powerful. But some people, we don't know how to do it. People don't celebrate that and help us tackle it.
Sex doesn't have to be a big physical endeavor, does it? It some people feel, well, my body doesn't work anymore. I'm not capable of doing what I did when I was younger. Women face that in certain ways, and men face that in certain ways. What's your suggestion when it comes to the physical limitations that come with age?
Well, so I think I use the term sexy fun because we've got this shorthand rendition for what sex is, and we think of it as simple penetration. Throw that out the window because there's so much more to it. That actual penetration part might be part of your sexy fun. It might not. But when you throw that out the window and you no longer try to compare your body to what it was when it was 20, but just say, this is my body now. I want to have sexy fun. You get that power to create what feels sexy and fun to you. There are very few people who can't kiss, no matter how old they are. They can't, you know, so kiss. Enjoy that savor, right? Kiss different parts of bodies. I don't care if you kiss somebody's fingers, if you start with their hand, if you kiss their arm, if you kiss their lips, you kiss their cheeks. There is such joy and intimate pleasure in kissing that I think it's completely overlooked if we limit ourselves to what this pervasive idea of sex penetration is. Mm-hmm. So to everybody, I'd say throw out your image, forget what you used to be, and enjoy who you are right now, because that's the key to enjoying any part of life, as you well know and I know. And then think about what it is that feels good. Do you like to be touched? Do you like to touch somebody? Where do you like to? Do you like to wear certain fabrics? Do you like to eat different foods just that are juicy and decadent and indulgent? And if so, sit there and enjoy the heck out of that and feel it through your whole body. Don't limit the taste to the just the 2 seconds and swallow it down. Savor every single thing that gives us pleasure, and you'll find that there's more sexy fun out there than you've ever imagined in your whole life if you just open your eyes a little bit and be open to experiencing different things.
I think the key to it, as you say, is to throw out the sex act, that is not necessarily the be-all and the end-all, yet to live in our society with all the ED commercials and things of that nature, one would think that there's something terribly wrong with them, that they're incapable of pleasing a woman or that a woman is incapable of being pleased simply
right.
by the measurement of the physical aspect of one aspect in sex. The other thing that I find interesting and I hear people talk about is that when because the upper demographic audience, some people have been together for many, many, many decades. They're married couples, been together 50 years, 30 years,
oh, that's
40
beautiful.
Years.
Right.
And then mm-hmm. there's people that are just dating at 50 and 60. And you hear stories about people that just met and they're getting married at 80 years old. But when you've been with somebody for decades and you've lived together, you've had children together and you've worked together and you've fought and you loved and you've been through everything, how do you keep that romance alive, that infatuation, the mystery
that
and
passion.
Excitement. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really tough. And I had one of the guests on my show was a woman who'd been married 48 years. And I met her at her daughter's wedding, and I told her I didn't mean to be rude, but I could tell by looking at her and her husband that they had a happy sex life. It was the weirdest thing, but I swear you can see these things. So she came on my show and she talked about what it took and that they keep things changing. They try not to do the same thing all the time. You said earlier, what do people do in their bedroom? And I say, you know, you might finish your sexy fun in the bedroom, but really it can start in so many different ways. So do that. Do something unexpected. If you come up with this crazy romantic idea and you tell your partner and they say, oh my God, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, I think you should pat yourself on the back because that's fabulous. You're thinking outside the box. You are getting those little, your heart's beating a little bit faster just at the thought of doing this. And I say, think of it as naughty, right? Naughty's so much fun. And so you have to invest some time and effort and some creativity in it to avoid having that just be the same old. But then once you do that, hopefully your partner does that, and suddenly you wake up every day and you're not quite sure what's going to happen or how you're going to love each other that day. And that's when that little bit of mystery, right, that's one of the parts of the definition of romance, is that there's an air of mystery about things. So let's keep that. And if you have this, you know, crazy fantasy that you've been harboring for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years that you haven't shared with your spouse or partner, maybe this is the time to do it. Because, you know, this is life. Enjoy every day that we've got. Shake them up a little bit. Shock them a little bit. Watch a naughty movie together. Go read a book together. Read some erotica together. Read just a passage or two out loud to each other and get the juices flowing. And tease each other, too. Teasing is just amazing. When somebody's, well, maybe not when somebody's driving, you don't want to necessarily tickle their neck or something. But if you're at dinner, lean over and just kiss their neck really softly. You can do that public. It's an incredibly intimate thing, and yet it's almost everyone gets some level of arousement from that. It's very much an erogenous zone for most people. So find little ways like that. Put your hand on somebody's thigh. Just really, you know, and if you make them laugh and go, what are you doing? Then keep going. Don't get defensive. Just keep going because right. That's what you want. You want to laugh together.
If people are just tuning in the middle of this conversation, I want them to understand Beth is not saying just put your hand on anybody's thigh. Because that'll
right.
Oh, that sounds good.
Very
I think I'll find somebody. I'll put my hand on someone's thigh. That'll fly well in the face of political correctness.
Right. Thank you.
That
would be bad.
How about, I really do.
I think the best sexy fun is with somebody that we really, that we know and we care about, and that there's, I say the emotional attachment, that's the substance that makes it really just stay with you, and it's healing and stuff. And let's face it, you know, there's so many benefits to having an active sex life. Right. You can look 10 years younger if you have sex 3 times a week. It reduces pain. People sleep better. They live longer if they've got emotional connections. Your cardio health is better. It reduces the rate of prostate cancer for men. Couples, you know, even after 40 years of marriage, there are studies that say that, if they're having a good sex life, that they are reporting higher levels of marital satisfaction. And again, a happy sex life can mean cuddling, hugging, kissing, all those things, not simply penetration. But we can also talk about ways that we can improve the opportunities for penetration for both. There's so many ways that we can deal with dryness for women or difficulties with erections for men. So I'm happy to talk about all those too. So.
Well, the idea that there are ways that it could be done. We don't have enough time to get into that kind of depth, and I don't know if people expect that type of discussion on this program. I think that you have certainly piqued our curiosity, and most importantly, you have a message of optimism. A message of hope and encouragement. I do want to ask you one important question, but before I do, I want to mention that sometimes when people have been together for a very, very long time, they get into a habit of just how intimate they could be. I've heard people say it's easier to talk to a stranger sometimes about intimate things than it is to talk to the people in your family or your spouse. And some people are just very, very afraid to express how they really feel about some of these things to somebody they may be living with for a quarter of a century or more. Do you find that when people come into your shop and they talk to you as if you're a counselor, because I know that's a case with you, that they say they have trouble sharing that type of information with their significant other?
Yeah, and it seems difficult to believe until you realize that what happens is when you know somebody for a long time, they have a certain image of who you are, and you have an image. It may or may not be correct, but you have your own image of what they think of you. So, for example, as women, we've tried to be, you know, good women and upstanding or whatever, professionally successful, et cetera, et cetera. So if we have this crazy fantasy in our mind about something, I don't know, if it's a lawn boy, a pool boy, or if it's, you know, being on our knees for a guy or something, you know, something that just seems completely inappropriate for who our who we've been, who we've been thought of for so many years, it can feel so scary to reveal those fantasies and to reveal this like vulnerability that we have inside. And especially to somebody whom you love so much and whose opinion matters so very much to you. The fear that they're going to judge you or that they're not going to respect you because you've got these ideas is what can hold people back. So it's important for everybody, if you want your partner to be able to mature and show you parts of them that they have not shown you before, you have to make sure you make it a really safe environment where there's, you laugh with people, but not at them. So that, you know, if they have this, like I said, this crazy idea, this fantasy they want to do, you can laugh awkwardly and say, oh my gosh, that's going to be so strange. How are we going to do this? But again, you put yourself in with them, not like, oh, you're a weirdo or you're a bad person for having this fantasy. And frankly, and say, gosh, thank you so much for sharing, because now I've got a challenge, right? I can step up to that. Let's see what we can do. And then I've got this freedom now where I can share my crazy fantasies and desires with you perhaps. But so one of the advantages that people have when they talk to me or if they read the book or they come into the shop is they tell them, throw me under the bus. Go home and tell your partner, well, I don't know, but Beth says I should try or we might want to try, blah, 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 and throw your hands up in the air and just shrug. And that way it's me. You don't have to risk. If they say that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, they're insulting me, not you.
Maybe you should change your name.
A buffer.
Maybe you should change the name of your book from Love and Laughter, Sexy, Meaningful, Fun for Everyone by Beth Liebling to Blame Beth. It's her fault. That's final question that I said I was going to ask you. You have a lot. Your shop is very successful and you're very well known in the Houston area. What is your experience in terms of older folks coming to the store? Do you have customers that are in the upper demographic range?
Yes, I do, and it's the most fun. I'm giggling just thinking about it because I grew up outside of Houston. My dad still lives here. I've had friends that my parents' friends that have known me since I was 10 years old. They have come to the shop. They have. I mean, truly, it is such an honor to be able to talk about these intimate types of things with these people in their 70s and 80s. And these women have told me, right, they've known me now for 40-something years. They're like, we never even talked about relationships, let alone intimacy. And yet here we are. I had a whole group of them in my shop, my mom's canasta group. And we're talking about anal sex. We're talking about vibrators. We're talking about things that these women have never said to each other, never thought, never mentioned before. And we are laughing. They were there for hours. And then some of them come back, and I've spoken at different, you know, conferences sponsored by health insurance companies to senior citizens and stuff, because it is sexy fun is so healthy. It's free. It's healthy. It's way better than any medicine you could ever get. So it's a joy. I love selling romantic props to seniors. I love couples that have been together forever and ever. I always ask them what their secret is. I think it's just phenomenal, and they should be celebrated as heroes because those are the relationships I wish I had. I want my children to have. That's the best thing in life, right? To have somebody who literally shares your life and still lets you be you and allows you to share your innermost secrets and crazy thoughts and fun things and helps you live out your desires.
And there you have it, a conversation with 52-year-old mother of five and grandmother, Beth Liebling. Beth Liebling is a radio talk show host heard on ESPN in Houston. She's the owner of a shop called Darling Way in that city, and she's the author of a brand new book titled Love and Laughter, Sexy, Meaningful Fun for Everyone, which is available on Amazon.com. And, of course, we wish you all a happy Valentine's Day, and that might be a great gift to give somebody. Even if it's after Valentine's Day, they may appreciate it. And if you want to find out more about Beth Liebling, fascinating woman indeed, you can go to her website, which is darlingway.com. And again, the name of the book is Love and Laughter, Sexy, Meaningful Fun for Everyone. You can pick it up at Amazon.com. Coming up next on A Touch of Gray, Carol Marks, the host and founder of our program, will be interviewing New York Times bestselling author Thomas More. He wrote the book Care of the Soul, as well as many other books on deepening soul and cultivating a mature spiritual life, three of which have received the Books for a Better Life Award. At times, he's been a monk, a musician, a university professor, and a psychotherapist. Today, he lectures widely on creating a more soulful world and on spirituality, and his latest book is titled Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy, published by St. Martin's Press. That's coming up next. We also have another episode in the never-ending adventures of Meg McDonald. Meg, when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment. Hi, this is Michael Harrison. I hope you're enjoying this installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, and finding it to be a meaningful listening experience. This wonderful little weekend program has been on the radio across America in one form or another for more than 20 years. Its mission is to provide mature Americans with information and content about aging to help them cope with the nonstop challenges of life during these hectic modern times. We're talking about health, finances, relationships, and plain old fun. Whether it's learning about the latest technology and social norms, or fondly remembering yesterday's arts and entertainment, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, is dedicated to serving that gigantic segment of the population so sadly ignored by most of today's popular media. Founded and hosted by a truly great lady, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the ongoing battle against ageism, this program is geared to what has commonly been referred to as the sandwich generation. Baby boomers who are coping with such challenges as still supporting their adult children while caring for their elderly parents. It's my honor and privilege to be associated with Carol Marks and be a part of her mission to support, defend, and inspire today's generation of what she lovingly calls seasoned citizens. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, online at www.atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. And right here on this great radio station every weekend. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivors' benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivors' benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Michael Harrison here. Those of you who follow talk radio and are interested in what goes on behind the scenes might also know me as the publisher of Talkers Magazine, the trade publication that serves the talk media industry. We cover the talk show business as it exists on radio, television, and the Internet. I often have the opportunity to speak about these media as a guest on radio and TV talk shows or comment on industry developments in newspapers and magazines. For the past 2 years, I've also hosted a weekly podcast that delves into the media in general and focuses on the rapid changes, not only in radio, but all of communications technology. Changes that I believe are contributing to rewiring the human nervous system. Computers, social media, and all the different platforms of instantaneous communications that define the new digital age are combining to actually accelerate our evolution as a species. Sound pretty far out? Well, it is. As a matter of fact, the name of this podcast series is Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison. Each week, I interview an outstanding personality from the world of radio or any number of its related fields in the arts, sciences, entertainment, politics, or academia. It's available to download, and you can subscribe to it at absolutely no charge whatsoever at iTunes or at the website www.upcloseandfarout.com. Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison. Just a click away on your computer or mobile device. Visit iTunes or www.upcloseandfarout.com. Make Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison a weekly podcast listening experience. Thank you. This week on the Michael Harrison Interview, our guest is Ben Domenech, the publisher of The Federalist.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about 3/4.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you 4 extra packs of Nubba-Nubs, free.
Nubba-Nub treats are freeze-dried beefy treats.
Made with no cereal fillers, chemical preservatives, or dyes.
Good for the tummy.
And yummy.
Nubba-Nub treats.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here is the host and founder of the program, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Thomas Moore. Thomas Moore is a New York Times bestselling author. He's written the book Care of the Soul, and he has many other books on deepening soul and cultivating a mature spiritual life. His latest book is titled Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy, published by St. Martin's Press.
Who doesn't want an answer to the question why and how do we grow old and how can we learn to age well? I've just finished reading a helpful and beautifully written book, Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy. In it, the author, Thomas Moore, reveals a fresh and optimistic and rewarding path toward aging, one that need not be feared, but rather embraced and cherished. And we're delighted that the author of Ageless Soul is our guest today. Thomas Moore is a New York Times bestselling author of Care of the Soul, as well as many other books on cultivating a more mature spiritual life. At times, he's been a monk, a musician, a university professor, psychotherapist, and now a full-time author. Today, he lectures widely on creating a more soulful world and on spirituality. So, Thomas Moore, the warmest of welcomes to A Touch of Grey.
Thank you, Carol. I appreciate it very much.
Now, you've had so many careers, as I said, a monk for 13 years, a musician, a university professor, a psychotherapist, and now a full-time author about spiritual topics. And in your book, you discuss how our thoughts and experiences can influence the way we live and can enjoy life as we age. So how did your previous diverse occupations help influence you to become a psychotherapist and then a full-time author?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I don't think anyone has ever asked me that before.
Intrigued.
Yes. Well, actually, when you look at all these different things that I did, they all contribute to the work I'm doing now, each one of them. I still feel like I live the life of a monk, even though I have a wife and children. And I find myself speaking in churches all the time, all different sorts of churches, which is what I intended to do when I was a young man, when I wanted to become a Catholic priest. And then I studied music, and I know it's a little more difficult to understand this, but music, too, has had a big impact on me in terms of my work, because it has given me a sensitivity to the arts and to the beauty in life and how important it is to take time out to contemplate music as well as the other arts. So that fits in. And finally, my work as a psychotherapist is somewhat different. I mean, a lot of people come to me because they know that I will include their spiritual concerns in my work, that I have lived my whole life in relation to those questions, and then I will go deep. The soul is about depth. And so it's not just about managing life on the surface, but to really probe to see who you are and what stories you have lived and how all of this comes together to give you a sense of meaning.
Absolutely. And you have written many successful books, and your current book is all about aging and the importance of aging with soul. So why do you compare good aging to aging cheese and wine? How do they age in a way that we should try to copy? Never thought
about
it.
Well, it's true that was the first image that came to me when I contemplated the word age, and I thought, well, I hear that word discussed about wines, certain wines, not all wines age well, and cheeses, some cheeses are really good when they get older, at least, people think that way. And you have to pay more for those because they are special. So I thought, well, that's a positive view of age, and I wonder if that applies to human beings. And of course it does, because as we go through the time of our lives, we're not just learning things, we are becoming something. And if we are open to life and to its invitations and are able to deal with, get through some of the setbacks and difficulties, then when we get older, we are aged like cheese is. We have flavor, we have value, and we are individual, very individual. And therefore, people want to be around us or need to be around us because we have something to give that we couldn't do when we were younger.
Yeah, I love that. And here's an important question. Can you tell us really what you think the word soul means and refers to? I know it's not a technical or scientific term. How would you define it?
Yes, it's a word that's been used for centuries. And it's a word that's trying to capture, and there's no good word, but it's trying to capture, as I said before, the depth of what it means to be a person and what the world is all about. It's also, there's a great deal of mystery in the world around us and in ourselves, who we are and how we come to be and the things we do. There's a great deal of mystery, and I think the idea of soul captures that mystery. And soul also has been associated with being able to connect with people. If you're a soulful person, you're able to connect, especially through your common humanity. I know today a lot of people want to find common ground, and it's very difficult to find. But I think we can find our common humanity, and that would be our soul.
Absolutely. And here's a question you must get frequently. What's the difference between our spirit and our soul, and isn't it important to nourish both?
Yes, it's very important to take care of both spirit and soul, but I find it's very helpful to distinguish them. So I'm not saying we should keep them apart or value one over the other, but they are different. So spirit, the spirit in us takes us, not just religious spirit, but that the spirit as a quality, a being, it takes us forward into the future. It raises us up. Usually the images for spirit are high, like steeples and tall buildings and rockets. Those are all images for spirit and trying to transcend where we are and move into the future, and images of afterlife and of divinity and all those things. They're beyond us, and that's very important to have that sense of what is beyond us and to keep pursuing that. But the soul is almost the opposite. It's everyday life, like it's the pleasure of being home and being with family and maybe being around in the area that you've grown up or that you've lived for a long time and you feel attached to it. The soul likes attachment and I think thrives on attachment. Spiritual people often talk about detachment, and that's important for a spiritual life. But this other part of life is also extremely important, that we have our attachments and we love the people and the animals around us and the places and the familiar places that we know so well. That keeps a human and keeps your heart alive.
Absolutely. And you know, speaking some more about the soul and the transformative experiences we all have, whether some are, we hope all of them are positive, but some of them are negative and they help our souls grow and blossom. So what benefits can come from actually being sad? When losing a loved one.
Well, it's so natural, isn't it? If you lose someone who's close to you, if you didn't feel anything, it would indicate that your feeling, your attachment wasn't very deep. It's just a natural thing that when you lose someone that has meant a lot to you, that you're going to feel sad. And there's nothing wrong in that. It's not a problem in itself. And how long you feel sad pretty much is up to the emotion itself and the relationship. I don't think it's a good idea to think that, well, now I should be over this sadness. Who knows? Sadness gets a hold of you, and the measure of your sadness might be the measure of your attachment to the person you've lost.
And how do you find out if you're just merely sad, but yet you're not depressed, and what can you do with this feeling of sad? Do you need to get in contact with other people? How can you try to work yourself back into, your normal state of thinking and being?
Well, that's another very good question. I think that the difference between depression and sadness is very important to know. Depression is more a word that we use for a clinical situation, like almost a medical problem. You see the 10 signs of depression, but you don't see 10 signs of sadness, because sadness is natural. It's emotion that makes you human and expresses your humanity. If you want to feel that your sadness is not just holding you back and that it's weighing on you too much, I think a very good thing to do is to speak for your sadness. So if someone asks you, well, how are you doing these days? And their question is a serious one. You tell them, you say, well, I've been sad. And you use the word sad. You don't say depressed. That's something else. You say, I'm sad. And you might tell the story of it and say, I lost this friend. And then you tell the story about your friend. And that kind of talking, where you are expressing quite honestly what you are feeling and going through, and finding language that really says what you're experiencing, that can be one of the most healing things.
And getting back to aging, and aging with soul, you have a lot of other useful suggestions in your book, and one of them that I particularly like is to grow older, tapping into your youthful spirit by continuing to be passionate and enthusiastic about life, and you talk about how being a mentor in the lives of young people, helping them to learn a new skill or get through life a little easier, but that can be a very rewarding thing as we get older.
Oh, yes. See, the thing is, we have to keep the youth and age of both alive within ourselves. So keep our own youthfulness going. I always, when I say that, I always give the example of my father who died at 100. He was 100 going on maybe 52, I think. You know, I mean, he was very, very young in spirit. And he still did his job. He still had his hobby of stamp collecting. And he still drove his car. And, you know, and his diet was horrible. I mean, he did not eat well, but he lived to be 100, I think, on the sheer energy of his love of life. So I think that we can all do that. We can keep our youth alive within us. But that is sometimes difficult. So one way to do it is to be around young people, not just associate with old people, but pick up the spirit of the young person. And don't be too demanding. You know, like a lot of old people want to always correct young people, and that's not necessary. You could look and receive and see that spirit they have and take it into yourself and get it more into your own life by being around the young. And another aspect of this is that as you get older, as I was saying before, you've had all these experiences, so you do have a lot to give. You have more to give than you may realize. And so it's a good idea to be around young people who are in need of guidance. And you give them that guidance, and that gives meaning to your life, your age, because you have got to this point where you can help people, young people. And then your life is also meaningful because you are helping someone else. Service is one of the healthiest things you can do.
I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things that you say in your book, which is so well written, is the fact that we should say how old we are, because in this country so many people, you know, don't want to say how old they are. It has to do with our fixation on youth. So I'm personally 82, but I feel blessed because I still have a youthful spirit full of adventure and creativity, along with both a positive and realistic attitude about some of my annoying chronic medical conditions that I have to make, you know, some adjustments to. So do you think that there are any other things that we can do, and why is it important for us to acknowledge exactly how old we are?
Well, I think it's by the way, I'm 77, not too far behind you there. And I think it's important because you've got to start with where you are. I mean, you've got to—it's a sort of a Zen idea, you know, that you want to be exactly where you are and express that who you are at this time in your life. You don't want to be starting with illusions or excuses or anything like that. And the simplest you can say how old you are, I think, the better. Now, I was speaking to a group of psychologists a few months ago. And at the beginning of the talk, I asked them to tell the person sitting next to them how old they were. And one of the psychologists afterwards, when I was discussing it with them, said, I said, well, how was it for you to tell them? And she said, I lied. This is interesting that a psychologist would lie about her age. Because I would think that people who are somewhat aware of what human life is all about and how to do it well, no, you have to be honest with who you are at the moment, and you don't want to start with a false identity, because you just keep going downhill with that, and you never get back to just what you are. If you start with your own age, I think that gives you a taste of what it means to begin to express exactly what you're experiencing and where you are in life.
Best-selling author Thomas Moore, who has written the book Ageless Soul, The Lifelong Journey Toward Meaning and Joy, published by St. Martin's Press. The interview was conducted by the host and founder of our program, Carol Marks. Coming up next, Meg McDonald with another installment of Meg. when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
Stinky dog away from me.
Bad breath and bad gas.
Petey stopped eating. All his hair fell out.
Itching, licking, missing fur.
At least $5,000 in vet bills.
Creams, antibiotics, sprays.
No results.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Dinovite. .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The shedding has stopped and the itching has stopped.
Her coat is not soft. It's silky. It's healthy and shiny and glossy.
She's got life. She's got energy.
Tons of energy. No more bad smells.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
Dinovite. .com.
Bernadette Duncan spent 26 years as a radio talk show producer. In her new book, Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers, she shares her adventures in the trenches of big-time talk radio during the changing backdrop of America's pre- and post-9/11 realities. This exciting story includes Bernadette's impressions of the quirky celebrity talk show hosts whom she served during her career, Larry King, Sally Jesse Raphael, Gil Gross, Tom Snyder, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, and more. It's full of anecdotes about hundreds of high-profile guests from media, show business, and politics. Also quirky, ego-driven, and neurotic. Yappy Days, Behind the Scenes with Newsers, Schmoozers, Boozers, and Losers. An analytical look at the media, journalism, and the complex nature of ego. Get it now at Amazon.com.
If you suffer from back pain, joint pain, arthritis, or other chronic pain, you need to try the water therapy benefits that Advantage Therapeutic Walk-In Bath provides. Not only does Advantage Walk-In Bath help get you in and out of the tub safely, it is proven to be beneficial to relieve aches and pains, giving you the relief to enjoy your day. You can enjoy taking your new bath and rejuvenating your body in as little as 7 days. And if you call today and ask for the radio special, we'll give you a $1,500 coupon towards the purchase of a new Vantage walk-in bath. Every call in the next 10 minutes will receive a $1,500 coupon towards the purchase of a new Vantage walk-in bath. Your aches and pains can be washed away. Call right now for a risk-free quote. 800-559-2269. 800-559-2269. 800-559-2269. That's 800-559-2269.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above and a thing called love. Let me tell you about the stars.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair as we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast. In the background, you hear an oldie but a goodie by Jewel Akins called The Birds and the Bees, which sets the stage for our very own Meg. Meg McDonald. The feature is called Meg. It's one of our most popular features. And this installment deals with the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and mankind's responsibility to the wildlife whose homes we are taking away by encroaching on their lands. Here's Meg.
We live at the base of a hill in Studio City. From the front door, we are one block south of Ventura Boulevard and often walk with our neighbors to local restaurants and shopping centers. But go out the back door, and we are surrounded by nature and our other neighbors, our wildlife neighbors, deer, raccoons, coyotes, squirrels, skunks, and birds. In Southern California, living is not always easy for wildlife. Sometimes they are hard-pressed to find accessible water, so we always keep a water bowl out back behind the house. The birds drink the water and also bathe in it. And interestingly, there's an order to who drinks first and who waits. The birds, even the big crows, will defer to the squirrels. And everyone defers to the bees. Yes, bees drink water. Sometimes there can be 50 bees at the bowl at one time, all lined up on the rim like they're bellying up to the bar. I can walk right by them and they pay me no never mind. The bees were gone for about 2 years. Now they're back again. And this time I asked myself, if bees drink water, do ants drink water? What about insects and bugs? The answer is yes. Like humans, these creatures all need water. And like us, insects and bugs have mouths, and the kind of mouth they have determines how they drink. Chewers get most of their water from eating plants. Dragonflies and beetles are chewers. Bees, flies, and butterflies have a tube-like mouth, so they drink by sucking or licking. Sucking is done the same way we do it, drinking through a straw. And licking is accomplished much like a dog lapping up water. And how do ants drink? Well, you might call ants ambidextrous, because they can lick and suck. I now realize that all creatures get thirsty, so I've added a second water bowl to the backyard. There's a wonderful little book called The Little Prince. Styled as a children's book, it makes several adult observations about life and human nature. And one of the morals to the story that has always stuck with me is, you are responsible for those you have tamed. We don't tame wildlife, but as our neighbors, we are responsible to help them out.
Powerful statement. Thank you very much, Meg. That's Meg McDonald and another installment of Meg. For those of you who are big Meg fans, you can binge listen to Meg. There are a whole bunch of installments of Meg by Meg McDonald at www.talkerslive.com. And that about does it for another installment of our program. Hope you enjoyed it. And hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day this week. Thanks to Dwayne Doobie Jr., our producer on the front line. Thank you to Carol Marks, our host and founder. And on behalf of all of us here, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.